content discussed on this show is not necessarily the opinion of the cast of Spiritually Raw, and topics quite often are for mature audiences only. So, if you happen to have your 13-year-old listening in,
that's your problem.
Spiritually Raw. We are so excited to be here. We hope you're having a miracle morning and you're going to continue to have a very fortunate day. And we're so blessed today and we have a great guest. You're going to love him. He is like, boom, full of energy, Dr. Calvin. And he's an author. He's just an all-around great guy, super inspirational. I'm so excited to introduce him and bring him onto the show today.
Yep. And before we bring him on, we do want to thank you, everybody, just for really just, you know, when you're watching these videos on YouTube and just, you know, checking it out, that you're subscribing, you're commenting to them, you're liking them, you're sharing them. So that's really, you know, it's really helping the it's really helping everything move forward a lot. And we really, really much love to you all on that support.
Super grateful.
Yep. As you can see, our featured guest just showed up out of nowhere. So there he is. Dr. Reverend Pastor, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys, man?
Good. Let me tell you a little bit about him. James Calvin Tibbs, former captain in the U.S. Army, and thank you for your service there. Pastor of Kingdom Dominion Church and theologian with a prophetic edge and unique approach, challenging listeners to think critically across racial, cultural, and spiritual spheres. And he's married to his college sweetheart, Kimberly, for 36 years.
That deserves a round of applause right there.
That does deserve a round of applause. No wonder you're a praying man. Oh, man.
It's obviously working.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Welcome, my brother, and thank you for coming on here with us.
He's also the author of 3 books to include Pray for the President, the Congress, and for the Senate.
Yes.
Now let's formally welcome our guest. So how are you?
I'm great. I'm glad to be here. Both of you are just so awesome, and it's a privilege to be sitting here. So after looking you guys up and seeing, and then you're in the flesh, talk to you on the phone, I'm like, wow, these folks are real, just like their name implies. And so it's just really, really cool. So it's a
oh, yeah, hey, much love to you. Much
Thank
love to you,
you
there.
So much.
Let's dive in and get everybody to get to know you. Yeah. So what's going in the world and in America? What's going on right now? Why is this happening?
You know, that's a good question, and it's one that I ask a lot in my time of prayer and meditation with the Lord. What's going on? And on a core level, what's mainly happening is that there's a clash of kingdoms. The clash of kingdoms has to do with darkness and light and the reality of who is going to win during this era, because there's a lot banking on or riding on what happens right now. Some people think that, sort of like if you remember back in the basketball days of Patrick Ewing, back when he was playing for the Knicks, and everyone expected, now that Pat Riley was there, that they would automatically win the championship that year. But Pat Riley said something very interesting. People forget, you still have to play the game. Mm-hmm. They played the game, they lost. To this day, Patrick Ewing, arguably one of the greatest centers in American basketball history, still does not have a ring. So it is spiritually. Just because we call on the Lord and just because we're, quote, good people or even morally sound people, you still have to play the game. So the game right now is engagement. And I believe it's over the, if you will, the cloud of one word, authority. And who's going to have it? Who's going to wield it?
Yep.
The moral authority, the spiritual authority. And that's kind of what I think is happening right now.
What do you think's brought it to a head? How did we get to this point?
That's another good question. Because of what's called eschatology, which is the study of the last days, there are things that have to occur. And again, everybody's got to play the game. They got to do their part. We can't just sit back and say, well, God's going to handle it. A lot of people are doing that, especially in the Christian community, just flat out sitting back, watching the game happen, complaining about this, not contributing. And because of that, as is the history of the Old Testament, God doesn't do things without his church, or the scripture says without his prophets. Mm-hmm. So he reveals secrets to people who are on the ground, who if they do nothing with it, God has no other recourse than to talk to other people who wouldn't otherwise be spoken to, if you will, by God. In other words, if the team isn't listening, he'll talk to the opposition. And he does it historically throughout the scripture. And I think a bunch of us are just not listening.
When you see this, what we're going through right now from a biblical perspective, do you see this as an end of times, metaphorically, maybe physically? I mean, how are you looking at this right now? What's happening? I mean, you're seeing, like, it's like almost like people like COVID, oh, plague? I don't know. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. You know what I mean? And this thing, this is happening. People can't work. You know what I mean? You have to take a vaccine. I mean, what mark of the beast? I mean, there's just so many analogies innuendos going on here. How do you see it? And what is from your way of receiving the message from how you see God, how do you interpret that?
Well, one of the things that's very important comes from a pastor out in Texas, Oak Cliff Bible College. It'll come to me in a second. And he said, God is not talking loud right now. God is screaming. And when he said that, it just dawned on me, Dr. Tony Evans, that's the name I'm trying to get. That's what he's doing right now. He's screaming. So yeah, this has something to do with the end times. Take a look at this little frame up, if you will. Three of the biggest holidays or meeting times in the Christian faith are Passover, Pentecost, and Feast of Tabernacles. Two in the spring, one in the fall. This pandemic hit between Passover and Pentecost. The scripture says these are feasts of the Lord, not just Jewish feasts. They are feasts of the Lord. So because they are, they belong to anybody who wants to, if you get the real definition of this, show up to the meeting. So God says three times I want you to meet. When you come, bring an offering. Don't come alone. And generally, they were bringing the men, heads of families. And as a result, God would talk to them in the spring at Passover, in 50 days later at Pentecost. The pandemic was right in the middle of all of that. So essentially, God's having two big meetings that the world is invited to. This is not just like Ebola. That was bad, mostly in Africa. SARS, mostly over in Asia. This thing, everybody's at home. Everybody's tripping or listening. What is he saying? And I don't think it's one message. Back to what the man of God mentioned. He's screaming, I think, many different messages, and some of them are customized for each listener.
What do you think is his, if you had to pick one that everybody would understand, what do you think the big message is?
I think the big message is prepare. We've been talking about, as Jay just mentioned, the last days. Realistically, that last days period started in the book of Acts around this same literal period, Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came to the earth and all of these folks were speaking in these different languages, the scripture says, and in the last days, speaking to the prophet Joel, these things would happen. So the last days is at least 2,000 years old. So given that we are in the last of the last days, why is it that this stop is being pulled out? I honestly think it's because of needful preparation. Now, there's something in our purpose development coaching that I do called meaningful excellence. And meaningful excellence deals with the idea that whatever it is that motivates the person deep inside, it's meaningful to them. If it's meaningful excellence, it matters to others as well as to the individual. I think for most of us, many people don't think they're meaningful, which means they're not preparing for their job assignment, their spiritual assignment, their global assignment, even if it's lived out locally. So I think if there's one message that is kind of clear to me, it's prepare. Whatever you're going to do, do it and get ready to do it at a very high level.
Where is your collection plate?
Yeah, you want to make a donation?
I'm sold.
It's free.
When you go through this as a spiritual man who, you know, a leader in your community, when you go through this and you see what's happening right now, and it's almost like, I guess, for some lack of a better term, like prophecy is coming true to some sense. Yeah. So more so than it seems like ever in a lot of people's lifetimes, when you see it as a spiritual man, how does that resonate with you? Do you look at it as like, oh man, this
it is real. Yeah,
man, this is real. Right. I was not reading a book. Or do you look at it as like, this is like, I knew it. I mean, like, what comes to you? Because there's some, I don't care who you are, what you believe or whatever, but, you know, I don't think anybody can doubt that stuff's going down right now. Yeah.
Yeah. And you made a great point, because the stage is set. I mean, this is a table that everyone's sitting at. This is not a black stage, a white stage. It's not a culturally economic difference. We're all sitting at this table. Is this thing real? How real is it? Is it a plan? So from a spiritual vantage point, I go through a whole lot of different iterations, and most of them are secondarily with what's happening in the world, primarily what's happening in me. Because at the end, a lot of times religion is about telling others what they ought to do. But the relationship with the Father is principally based upon what I do in my walk with Him. So for me, since November, I think it was March of last year, I started writing down dreams. And I mean, to the point where between March of 31st of last year, the 30th, until the 31st of December, I had written down over 308 dreams.
Wow.
And that's not even including these other prophetic sayings that come to my heart. Well, guess what? Between January 2020 and March 2020, they had doubled. So when I get those kinds of messages,
that's
before
incredible.
I look outside, I'm like, what's happening? What are you trying to get me to understand? Because dream interpretation is like a language, just like prophecy. Mm-hmm. It's a language. And too many times we speak the cultural language and the language of our first native tongue, but miss out on the fact that there's a design potential in us that's far greater than what we even understand. So my first stop is with me. What are you doing with me? What's my role in this thing? And if I can understand what that role is, then I can help people with their role. I tell people, you have a voice, you have an audience, even if it's two, three, or four people, be the influence in that group with the conviction that you've been given. And if we get that done, I think He's pleased, because some folks have regional platforms, like you guys have a massive platform. There are people who have way lesser platforms, but if they don't get out there and share it, once again, they're not preparing for their role.
Mm. You have a dollar?
I'm telling you. Give him 100.
You're good, man.
I know. I'm like totally hooked.
I'm not even going to ask for change back.
That's good. Nice, man.
I want to touch on something that you just said. It's not black and it's not white.
Yeah.
What do you think what's going on with Black Lives Matter and all of the riots? How are you interpreting all of that?
It's another very complicated deal, because you have good mixed in with bad, light mixed in with darkness. You know, when I first heard about the mantra of Black Lives Matter years ago, my thought was, every life matters.
Mm.
Isn't that the point?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the midst of this, I picked up some ideas the other week, actually last night, from a gentleman who is a fellow whose name I forgot. And he said, the issue is moral authority. And the moral authority does not have a plan beyond destruction.
Mm-hmm.
So if Black lives do matter, then we need to stop killing babies in Black neighborhoods through abortion. If Black lives really matter, let's address the amount of Black on Black activity crime-wise that's happening in Chicago, far more epic than things that are currently happening that have been going on for the longest time. So I really think that these cover titles
mm-hmm.
are designed to create a narrative that underneath it have these subplots that do not match the narrative of Black Lives Matter.
Man, you just totally nailed something. If Black Lives Matter, why are they killing so many Black babies? So right there, if you're not, because that was like ding, 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 as soon as you said, if that doesn't help put things into perspective, I honest to God don't know what will. Where are we going from here?
It really depends on how the players play the game. I think in part, there is going to be the natural progression of, the scripture calls it, a great falling away.
Mm.
I think some of that has already occurred. Recently, I've tried to marry that up with the number that no man could number. So which is it? Is it the great falling away, or is it the number that no man could number? And it's actually both. The great falling away is in the dispensation that we're in now. That's the reason why church attendance is not what it used to be some years ago. There are generations that awaken on a Sunday morning, and it means no more spiritually to them than the last 7 days or 6 days of the week. So when you talk about that faction happening, and then 2 Timothy chapter 3 talks about all that we see on the news happening today, so the discouragement factor and all the other issues happening at the same time is going to create a sense of attrition, we'll call it.
Hmm.
But then there's what the Bible calls the remnant. And the remnant is what's left over when you chop that tree down and the stump remains. That's what I think is happening. And it may not be the likely suspects that we all think. I go to church, I'm a good person, I'm this, that, and the other. That stuff does not pass muster with the Lord. What causes him to get our attention and what gets his attention is our dependence on him, which then is followed up with action. So I think there's a falling away that's going to occur. There's a gathering of a smaller number, and that group God's going to talk to, and they're going to be in every what's called the seven mountains of life, and they're going to be out there doing their thing, perhaps undercover, but they will have an influence that comes from the divine.
Oh my God, there's about 100 questions just came flooding to my mind as you're talking about
can
all
you
this.
Start, can you start with one?
Let's try one. Okay.
Don't do that to him. He's our guest.
I know. Number one, is this the quintessential 7 years of tribulation?
We are not there.
We're not there. Are we in anything that would be commonly known as prophetic?
Oh, it's definitely prophetic. One way that you can tell the last days in that 7 year window is what happens with Israel. For us as Americans, you know, it all evolves around us. So it appears. But biblically, and especially when you talk about biblical prophecy, it actually evolves around Jerusalem. Until Jerusalem has put their arms down, there is no more Iron Dome. There is no border activity there where there is a fear factor. Until that happens, you can't have what happens in the book of Revelation where the army from the north comes rushing in, Ezekiel 37, on a group that is undefended. Israel is highly defended right now. So until the political moves occur that cause Jerusalem to have a confidence in their personal safety, then we haven't entered into that period. So that period is only unlocked when peace has been garnered, and then 3.5 years into that peace, here comes the activity that's often looked upon as that epic time. So we're just not there yet. We're walking towards it, but we're not there yet.
Question number two from your last statement. When you were talking about kind of like people splitting, you know, not splitting in a bad way, but helping people get to the next level, sharing the messages and the platforms. Is that where, in a way, where they're saying, you know, in the Bible about where they get sucked up off the earth?
Like a rapture kind of thing?
The rapture.
Oh. Yeah, the rapture portion is going to happen. Now, there's obviously debate in the Christian world about pre-rapture, post-rapture, or, you know, pre-trib, post-trib, and mid-trib.
Yeah.
When are we leaving?
Right, when are we leaving?
Well, according to the verse that most of them agree on, is that the church has not been appointed unto wrath. So if God's people haven't been appointed for that hour, our being in that hour conflicts with the verse. So it is more likely that the activity, for example, today, I mean, the things going on in America, I mean, many could easily look at that and say, we're in the last days. Look at this.
No question.
Yeah, you can say that. Mm-hmm. But when it comes down to the catching up of the saints, again, a lot of this is literally going to be connected with what happens politically in Israel.
That's what I was
before saying. The man of perdition is revealed, and the scripture says no one knows who he is, though he may very well be alive today, this person has to do a lot of political wranglings. For example, and I don't know how far I need to go into this, but the idea that we have to now all be afraid of something, COVID-19, mm-hmm. that is legitimate on one hand, but is proven in some countries to actually be fine if you let your body do its natural healing process, and like catching a cold, you get over it.
Like Italy is.
Correct.
Okay.
So why is that not the model? Answer, right. It doesn't fit the narrative. Why doesn't it fit the narrative? Because in order to have the moral equivalency of authority, I've got to have fear. Mm-hmm. If in fact what I'm really after is not the moral equivalence of us all getting along, but the darkness getting in. Mm. Once it gets in and gets people used to looking all over their shoulders for the next pandemic, then the fear factor by itself is going to work marvels in putting people in their specific places of submission, if you will. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. As we go through this from you, do you get a sense of, how do you look at it? Is it excitement? What emotion do you think best describes how you view it? Would it be multiple choice? I'll give you here. Would it be like, would it be fear? Would it be excitement? Would it be just like, you know, nervousness? I mean, I am asking you. So how would you best describe it for you?
You know, if you say best, it gets on my nerves. This stuff gets on my nerves. Mm-hmm. And it gets on my nerves because the goal is to remove the strength of relationship with the Creator and put a subordinate relationship as the primary relationship, which is the dependence on what other people think. And if that becomes just the norm across the board, then there is no reason for faith, because mm-hmm. faith is the substance of what you hope for, the evidence of what you don't see. So if now we have to all get vaccinated and all of us have to walk and make sure your temperature is right, if that's the case, although I get why, there is a reason for parts of this. But I think, honestly, Jay, to your question, it gets on my nerves because it's so easy to fall into the herd mm-hmm. of thought. And if we do that long enough, how does that fit? Because America, if you look in the scripture, is not prominently mentioned in the New Testament in the last days. It's just not. The action's not over here. Is it the rapture that's going to get folks out, and a third of this country is now gone, and hence the economic engine, the military engine, and all of those things grind this to an insignificance? Perhaps. Is COVID going to do it? Perhaps. But we are surely being cattle driven into something that's not even the spirit of how this country was created. We left the system of religious rule to have free religious expression, yet religious expression is considered unnecessary except on Sunday mornings, as if it's not a part of the mainstream. Even historically, you see those things, but the politicians and mostly the church have so laid down that our voice is so weak that only now is it beginning to get a chance under this particular president to actually get out there to say, hey, wait a minute, why are those guys not considered essential, but the liquor store is. Mm-hmm. So it's
like that. And you go ahead.
What's your thoughts on Trump?
I honestly think, and this is a long answer, so I'm going to really make it short.
That's okay. We have time. We're not going anywhere.
We got time. Okay. Years ago, when he was on The Apprentice, and he was the mogul, the billionaire playboy guy, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden there was some thought about him running for president, in my mind, I'm like, he's not going to win. In my mind, he wasn't even a serious candidate. Over the period of time between when he actually began to run, I began to look at things differently. And I began to think about where the country had been, where the country at least is presumed to be going, and what's the difference, especially as it relates to biblical precedents. Mm-hmm. So most Christians, especially African-American Christians, either don't know this verse, wouldn't care to hear this verse, but I gotta say it because it's in the word and I can't pick and choose. I serve mm-hmm. him, he doesn't serve my best interests. Nebuchadnezzar was one of the worst Babylonian kings in the history of kings. He literally performed abortions with women standing up, mm-hmm. knives ripping babies out, the scripture would indicate, from the low area all the way up through the stomach. That guy was vicious and he was something to be reckoned with. Mm. If you read the verses, you will hear words like God talking through the various prophets, Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. Hmm. What? Go back and reread that. Make sure you're not off. Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. So I began to read that and then looked at the bigger picture of why God would call, if you will, a villainous type person his servant. Yeah. And the answer is what is going on in America and in the world today. So, Old Testament, when God was spanking his nation, some of the other folks got in the way of the switch or the belt. So the spanking also affected parts of the world when he was actually effectively spanking his own children. The reason why Nebuchadnezzar was a tool in the hands of God is because Israel had turned from God and the Lord was using Nebuchadnezzar to punish his people. Now, so if God's going to use the enemy to, and now understand this, the punishment was warranted because all of the things he told Israel not to do, engaging in the detestable acts of the nations around them, forsaking him, disregarding the Sabbath day, and you go down the whole list of things, they violated all of that, and he kept saying through the prophets, don't do this, don't get God mad at us, please guys, don't do this, year after year after year, until finally God had enough, since you all want to play as if you don't have a real relationship with me, now I'm going to punish you in accordance with that, send you into exile. So he used Nebuchadnezzar to wake his own people up after those years of bondage. As it relates to President Trump, I believe that President Trump, one, is misunderstood by a lot of people because he's not the prototype of what we are normally expecting of a president to be. He is a businessman first, perhaps he's a politician second. If we're rating him on what he says versus what he does, we make a egregious error, according to 2 Timothy, again, chapter 3. This notion that he has to sound presidential over the notion that he ought to be a leader with policies that fit this country, that's never talked about very often. It's almost mostly about what he says. But the scripture would say, if the group of people only want to have what's called itching ears, rather than hearing the knowledge of the truth, that's a clear sign of a last day's act. Him being here right now, in my estimation, is actually keeping certain parts of portions of what America would reap than what it would have occurred. Let's just put it this way. America would be reaping far worse. He didn't put a black and white mark in the sand by his actions. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm not calling him Nebuchadnezzar, but I honestly think the Lord is using him to help right the ship when it comes down to some obvious things like Merry Christmas.
Right, exactly. I love that. Can I?
Yeah, jump.
Okay, so something, I don't know if I'm way off on this, but using the Nebuchadnezzar? Nebuchadnezzar.
Which was
analogy.
On the Matrix movie you've been watching.
Was it?
Yes.
I missed that.
You've been wanting to watch the Matrix lately. Nebuchadnezzar trip.
Oh, yeah. Right. And everybody, if you were to just take that verse and not explain it how you poetically explained it, you would think, Jesus, that sounds like something that Satan would be behind doing it. Correct. And a lot of people are looking at Trump as Satan.
Yeah.
So I could see how that correlation, and now that when you explain it perfectly, he ain't Satan. But so many people are viewing him as, you know, Satan. Lucifer, you know, whatever you want to call.
You're right, April. And that's one of the parts that it kind of gets on my nerves, and then that bothers me. It's my people perish for lack of understanding or lack of knowledge, according to what the scripture mentions. So what happens with Israel from the White House determines to a large degree what happens to America in our house. Mm-hmm. It's historically been this way. Mm-hmm. If you go to Genesis 12 and 3, it says, I will bless those who bless me, talking about Abraham. And I will curse those who curse you. Actually, bless you, curse you. Talking about Abraham, the fact that the president would do such a provocative move as moving the embassy of our United States from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem should have been met with great celebration because he's riding the ship of divine authority and legal rights for the Jew in Jerusalem. That one act. Forget what else he did with the economy. Forget what else he did with, let's just call it the equity of certain things. To line scripture up like that took a lot of boldness. And it tells me that it's the Lord who's putting upon him, like Cyrus, which is a whole different story, where when the Jews came out, when he took over the Jewish people, he let them go free. And that's what this president is trying to get, is trying to do. But there are a lot of forces against freedom. And because they are, folks don't read the tea leaves, and they're not that difficult to read.
Do you get backlash from this when you outspokenly support him like that?
Yes and no. Yes, because people are respectful and they're like, okay, that's just you, but you're too nice a guy to be crazy, so we're just not going to say much to you. And I'm fine with that too. So yes, there is some of that. But listen, we only have one employer. We have an audience of one. if he's pleased, mm-hmm. everybody else will be all right. Mm-hmm. If he's not pleased and everybody else is happy, that person's in trouble. And I don't want to be that guy.
It sounds like an obvious question I'm going to ask you, but I just want to get your perspective on it. Why did you write Pray for the President, the Congress, and the Senate?
My wife asked that same question. Honey, why don't you stay out of this? I'm not trying to get involved. I'm really not. I did because prayer is one of the easiest leveraging points for anybody who is a Christian. And to pray for a person that you don't like is normal because the verse says, pray for those who despitefully use you. So from that vantage point, if he's really a Nebuchadnezzar, mm-hmm. then you ought to be really praying for him because he's still your president. Mm-hmm. If you don't pray for him, then you are violating what is easy now for the last day's pickings, where people again have itching ears. And as far as I'm concerned, if we can't do the simple, we open ourselves up for an even bigger fall, hence another snapshot of the last day's group of people who live today.
Do you think it's going to get better towards the election, or is it going to get worse? And if you think, how I think you think, that he's going to get reelected, what do you think is going to happen in the next term?
I asked that question even this morning of the Lord, and I'm like, what's happening here? Mm-hmm. I honestly think both is going to occur. I think it's going to get worse, and I think it's going to get better. Mm. I think the faction that's desecrating buildings right now after the George Floyd killing are going to continue, but I think they're going to water down. I honestly think for certain parts of the political factions, the Lord's going to completely let them be exposed for who they really are, so that folks are going to see clearly that even if you don't like a person, if the policies fit morality, if they fit the Ten Commandments, if they fit ethics, why are we so averse to the individual as if we don't also have issues in our own character, mm-hmm. issues in our own past? So that reality, I think, is going to cause a cooling where people are going to kind of chill. I don't know what COVID's next move is going to be on that regard, but I honestly think it's going to get worse. I think he will get reelected. I think I wrote this book prior to him getting elected, thinking that he would. Doesn't mean I'm right on everything.
So far you are.
Yeah, well, we'll take it. God knows. Because it's fluid. It's fluid. And that's why I don't consider myself an expert at any of this. I'm just a man who's interested in what his God has to say. Mm-hmm. And so that led me in this context to write the book. And as a result, if we can get enough folks doing that, then we fulfill the scripture that says, when you call on my name, humble yourself and pray, seek my face, turn, I'll hear you. And that's what we want.
Awesome.
Amen, brother. Amen, brother. That is Dr. Pastor Calvin, man.
I was going to ask you, though, do you want to do a closing prayer?
Yeah.
I'd be glad to.
I was going to ask you, too.
Okay, great.
But you took it away.
I got you first.
Okay. What is this, David?
Yes.
Yeah, brother. Okay. Yeah, closes out.
Okay. Well, Lord, I am so thankful for this couple, Father. They are such a blessing. And even they are probably misunderstood by religious people who can't take the truth unless it comes in the package that they are accustomed to hearing. But you have set them apart. Even their whole relationship is different. I don't know much about them, but I know this. They are the right mix of difference for one another that makes them the right mix for all of us. And so I thank you that you're going to broaden their audience, that there are going to be some of those wayward soldiers who are tired of the battle over ideology and over things that don't matter. And you're going to bring them, Father, to Jay and to April, and they're going to talk to them as they have through all these various guests, and they're going to hear your voice in the midst of it. And I do believe that's what you're doing in the process of a last day's church that you are gathering, not all meeting in this place or in that place, because even Jesus said, the day will come where you will neither worship on this mountain or in that temple, but they that worship me, Jesus said, will do so in spirit and in truth. So I thank you for the gathering of those who will do that. And in accordance with the high priestly prayer that you gave in your word in the book of Numbers, chapter 6, may the Lord bless them. May you now keep them. Father, make your face shine upon them. Be gracious to them. Lift up the light of your countenance upon them and give them your peace And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen. That is so beautiful.
You're my favorite doctor, pastor ever.
I was just going to say that.
I'm serious. You are my favorite doctor, pastor ever. Brother, where can everybody find out about you? How can they support what you got going on, man?
You can go to kdchurch.org. That's our church website. And there you find a whole list of things that we're doing on YouTube, on Zoom, and so forth. So it's all there.
Much that love to you, awesome. Man. Really, much love to you. You got it going
many,
on,
many
man.
Many blessings.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for your energy. Thanks for your life. We'll see you next time, yeah?
All right. Love you guys, too. We'll talk.
Love you. Then. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Wow, that was incredible.
He's great, wasn't he?
I don't know about you. If you're not uplifted now, I don't even know what to say.
No, he's going to go on.
That was incredible. That was a jolt of energy that I think everybody around the world.
He's like, people should have him on an app.
For real.
You know what I mean?
I'm not
like
even
when
exaggerating.
They're feeling down, they like
yeah,
get
when
a, you know,
click.
They should have on an app.
No question about it.
Oh, man.
Well, that was so inspirational.
Like
so inspiring. I feel like I just got...
I feel great.
I said, "Why?" Honest to God, I feel like I had
to do another show, but not right now.
An adrenaline shot. That was just wow! What a blessing! What a treat it was to have Reverend Pastor Calvin,
Doctor Pastor Calvin,
Doctor Pastor Calvin.
Oh my God.
He's got a long time.
Oh, that you got to remember his name too. You know.
Yeah, I know. Thank you, everyone, and remember together. We will turn the universal key to global harmony and create a unified world. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And remember, tune in often. Tell all your friends. And most importantly, may all your dreams come true. Many blessings.